English today. Dear friends, good morning. Today we are going to have a Dhamma talk à la carte. It means that we begin with a number of questions that you ask. You'll get about 10 questions, and the Dhamma talk will be based on these 10 questions. Okay? So if anyone has a question, she or he can raise her hand and ask the question. There is a microphone somewhere. Ask the question of your heart, the most burning question in your heart. First question. No sound.
So, Danny, you have been traveling and teaching all your life and have inspired so many people. So my question would be, what, based on your life experience, what is that core message and lesson that you would like to share with us, the next generation? What is the essence of your teaching?
Core message, okay. Another question.
Dear Thay, I'm quite tired of running and being somebody, so can you help me?
Running and being somebody. Thay. Of running and being somebody. Okay, next question.
Hi, it's a very simple and difficult one. How to deal with the fear and anxiety in general when practicing mindfulness?
How to deal with fear and anxiety? Big question.
Dear Sangha, dear Thay, I've got a question, and it comes from the working meditation we had today. There was no water, and we had to do the showers and the toilets. And I felt it quite a challenge, and I really like it when to improvise. But then also at the same time, this fanatic me comes out, who wants to do everything so good and to control everything. And my question is how to deal with this, that part of me, and how to stay in contact with
the desire to do everything and to do well. What is wrong with that?
Well, maybe it feels it feels wrong when I lose myself in it. When I'm getting really frenetic and
frenetic. Yeah. Losing self.
Thank you.
Losing self in trying to do everything and well, and do well. Okay.
Dear Thai, I'm sitting here.
Okay.
I have a question concerning how to help other people transform their suffering, people you love dearly and are most difficult to help sometimes because they're very very close to you. And my question is how to best help them in becoming more happy.
There's so many people who suffer around, and how to help?
How to help the most people who are most dear to you, and most like your very loved ones. How to help them, and
how to help our dear ones that suffer, right? Suffer.
Hi, the Sangha, Thai. My question is, I feel like a lazy practitioner, and I don't know where I can feel the research, the motivation with my practice. Ma question, c'est que je me sens comme une pratiquante paresseuse et que j'ai du mal à retrouver les motivations.
Elle est un peu lazy in the practice. How to find the motivation?
Dear Thai, dear Sangha, my question is practical. How did you manage to, when you started the movement, to get the houses, get the people, and to create that huge movement, so that you give us advice to try and do the same or continue, or from the practical side, dealing with money, people, organization, maybe government, I don't know. Thank you.
How are you? How do you go on with all these things that you have done?
Dear Thai, dear Sangha, my question is how to stay confident in making a better future, knowing there is so dark clouds, I think. How to stay confident?
How to make a decision with confidence?
So many different darkness around so much suffering in the world. I mean, how to keep your positive hope and confidence?
How to, Pháp Man is trying to interpret, how to keep hope and confidence. Why?
When there's so much darkness.
Where? So much darkness. And suffering.
Dear Thay, dear Sangha. My question is, the name of the retreat is Truly Alive.
Truly Alive.
Yeah, and when I come in Prim Village, I really feel truly alive. And I want to know what is your point of view or how can you keep that feeling when we go outside? Because we talk about it in family and we said sometimes we feel like a ghost outside. And
how to keep truly alive.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. To keep being truly alive.
Cher Thay, cher Sangha, je voudrais savoir comment est-ce que je pourrais arrêter de vouloir toujours résoudre les problèmes des autres en m'oubliant moi-même. Enfin...
How to again? Encore une fois en français.
Can I stop to be obsessed by trying to help other people because I'm losing myself?
Mm-hmm. It's very much like the fourth question. Comment ne pas se perdre quand on cherche à aider les autres, n'est-ce pas?
Hi. Do you feel that mindful sexual expression can be an aspect of the practice?
Mindful sexuality?
Mindful sexual expression.
Mindful. Dura. It's enough. Okay. One more.
I tried for so long to get this question, so I will... wanted to answer. Can you provoke luck? For example, by being optimistic, you will also be more lucky.
Can you increase your luck?
Can you make yourself more lucky by
make yourself
example,
lucky? Yeah.
Lucky thoughts, just an example.
It.
Optimistic thoughts.
It means something. How to have more luck for yourself and so for the people. Luck. Good luck. There's a gentleman here.
Cher Thay, cher Sangha, en fait, le problème c'est plutôt par rapport à ma mère qui est une mère vietnamienne et qui aime beaucoup aider ses enfants. Mais le problème c'est que parfois elle a une pensée un peu trop dualiste, comme elle au village et c'est comme si j'allais au village et puis après je m'en sortais et puis c'était 5 fois mieux ou 10 fois mieux, mais je sais pas, je me sens toujours pareil. Et je sais pas, à chaque fois elle a l'impression que si je vais pas avec elle aux journées de pratique ou si je vais pas avec elle dans un sangha, c'est l'impression qu'elle me donne. J'ai l'impression qu'elle pense que je ne suis pas mûr ou que je ne suis pas assez. Enfin, je ne sais pas. Voilà.
Est-ce que tu peux résumer en 2 phrases ce que tu
dis ? Une phrase.
Comment faire en sorte que ma mère arrête de voir le village des pruniers et la pratique comme une manière de vraiment transformer les gens facilement.
Ça, c'est quoi?
C'est pas aussi facile. C'est pas aussi facile.
Sư cô hiểu chưa? Làm sao nói đi. Nói tiếng Anh đi.
My mother, who is Vietnamese, believes if you go to Plum Village, everything will be transformed, even your negative things. But I don't think that is so simple.
Both of you are right. Go to Plum Village, everything will be okay.
Dear Thai, dear Sangha, I have a question. It's how to find the strength to love again when you suffered really a lot for love?
How to find the strength in order to go
love
on?
Love again another person. I mean.
When you suffer because of a relationship?
Yeah.
Love. Yeah.
Dear Thai, dear Sangha, my question is about repression.
Repression.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with repression in terms of meditation and mindfulness and looking deep within yourself when you have difficulty doing so?
Mm. We have to repress ourselves practicing meditation.
Maybe, or we can do no other way because we're used to repressing our feelings or ourselves, our expression.
Repression.
Thank you to Bar to translate me from Italian. Okay. Ieri abbiamo scoperto che molti della mia generazione hanno difficoltà a trovare una direzione nella vita. E è stato bello scoprire di essere in tanti, ma come trovare dentro di sé quella ispirazione che ti consente di superare momenti di sconforto e di non senso.
Dear Thay, yesterday a number of us discovered that we share a difficulty in finding a direction for our lives. That's something that many of us share. And so I'd like to know how we can find a direction for our lives and find the inspiration that will help us overcome difficult moments and confusion.
A direction. Motivation. Inspiration.
Dear Thay, dear family, my question is very simple. How do I deal with guilt? That's it.
Dear Thay, I have a question about true love. What is true love?
Dear Thay, dear Sangha, my question is how can we or how can I develop the skills to be a good Sangha builder without having the practice in daily life and without living in a Sangha in everyday life? Yeah.
How to build a Sangha? Without living with the Sangha?
Yeah.
It's difficult. You cannot build a Sangha if you don't want to live with the Sangha.
No.
Without having resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sangha building.
Sorry, dear Thay, the question 13 I asked, and you wrote not the same as I told you. It's how to find the strength, the power to love again. It's like to find the trust in another person, I think. After you suffered really a lot because of a person that you loved.
How to... How to go on, how to start a new...
how to find the strength to love again. Strength to love because he's hurt inside.
Okay. Hurt. Already hurt. Thank you. That I think that it that would be enough. It looks like every question is linked together, and if we try to answer one question, we may be answering all the questions at the same time. Today is August the 24th in the year 2010. We are in the upper hamlet of Plum Village in our retreat for young people truly alive. First thing I want to say is that a person belonging to an older generation, I would like to see the young people begin to take up responsibility as soon as possible. My generation has done many wrong things. And we have borrowed this planet from you, from the young people. And we have done a lot of harm to this planet. And now we wanted to give to you, but the planet is not what we desire to be. We are ashamed of that. We have destroyed to a very great extent this beautiful planet. And you are going to receive it with a lot of wounds, damage, and we are sorry. Our civilization is to borrow. We have borrowed too much from the planet. We have made use of too much. We have borrowed too much. And the planet is now not capable to continue. It cannot take it anymore. We have borrowed too much from it. We have borrowed too much from our children, our grandchildren, because this planet belongs to them, to our children and their children. It means we have borrowed from our children and our grandchildren, and we don't know whether we can give it back, pay it back to you. We have borrowed from ourselves. When we want a car, a house, we just borrow the money in order to have the car and the house. And we count on our body, our labor, in order to pay. It means we have borrowed from ourselves. The planet is also ourselves, and our children and their children are also ourselves. So we have borrowed from ourselves, and there is not much left. There's not much left from ourselves. That is the situation now. So what I wish to say is that if the young people, they realize, they are aware of what is going on, they should wake up as soon as possible and take the responsibility in hands. And this cannot be done individually. We have to wake up together. And there will be a chance if we wake up together. I have said in the last few years that one Buddha is not enough. We should have a collective awakening. And the young people have to wake up. They cannot count on the older generation anymore. They have to take responsibility. They have to wake up. The way we organize our life, the way we prepare our future, has led us into this situation. We have to look back and to find a way. Not a way for individuals, but a way for all of us. When we talk about love, we also talk about need, because we need to be happy, and there are many things that we need. And people are always looking for what they need. We are looking for something to eat every day, because there are many people, many of us do not have anything to eat today. So we may say that what we need is two or three meals a day. And there are those of us who have hard time getting that. Many are dying every day. And those of us who have three meals a day, we are not satisfied. We want to have better meals. We want to have more meat and alcohol. So what we need is a house to live in. Many people on earth do not have a house. They do not have a decent house to live in. And those of us who have a home, a house, we think that this house is not good enough. We have to get a better house. And many people have need to have water to drink, and they have to go 3, 4, 5 kilometers in order to get some water for cooking, for washing. And those of us who have water running in our kitchen, our bathroom, we are not happy. We think that that's not enough. We need a diploma. There are many of us who do not have a diploma. There are those of us who have a big diploma, but they are not happy. So what we do really need? Many of us do not have a job. Some of us have job, but we don't like the job. We want to have a better job with a better salary. So the need is always there. Even if we get what we want, we still have needs. And I have seen around myself many people have many things they need. They have meals to eat, they have house to live, they have a car to drive, they have a partner, they have a lover, and yet they continue to suffer very deeply. So it looks like even if we get what we need, we still suffer. There are those who are very wealthy, but they suffer very deeply. Those who are very famous, but they still suffer deeply. Those who are very powerful, and yet they suffer deeply. And every one of us need something more than these things. We need love. We need understanding. We have the impression that no one around us understands us. If only one person can understand me, I will feel better. But so far I have not found anyone who can understand me. I have suffering, I have aspiration, I have difficulties, but no one seems to have understood my suffering. So it looks like understanding is what we really need. We need love. It does not seem that anyone has truly loved us. And that kind of basic need, we need peace. We need some peace inside. Without that, we are lost. If we have some peace inside, and then we will be clear enough, calm enough to see the path to go. If there is no peace inside, well, we are confused. We don't know where to go. So these kind of needs are very basic. Some peace inside. If you don't have peace inside, you cannot do anything to help other people. You cannot love even yourself. You need understanding, but peace and understanding and love. It seems that these things are very rare, and you cannot get them from the supermarket. They don't sell these kind of things. Peace, understanding, and compassion. So we are hungry. All of us are hungry. We are hungry of peace. We are hungry of understanding. We are hungry of love. And many of us behave like hungry ghosts. We walk around looking for peace, looking for someone who understands us and who can accept us. But we have not found anyone who can provide us with these kind of things. Even if we want to help with the planet, we want to help with human rights and other issues like peace and social justice. We cannot do anything because the basic needs in us, we have not be able to get the fulfillment. So the question is for us how to have some peace inside our heart. How to promote understanding and accept. We need someone who can offer us peace. Maybe a teacher, or a sangha, or a friend. But so far, no one has offered us that peace. We need understanding, because we have a lot of suffering inside. We have a lot of difficulties inside. We have a lot of deep aspiration inside, but so far no one has understood these kind of things. We are hungry of understanding, and we know that we cannot buy these things from the outside, from the marketplace. in a relationship, in any kind of relationship, whether it is a father and son, mother and daughter, or partner and partner. We wish that the other person can provide us with these kind of things. Peace, some peace inside, some understanding, some love. And it happens that the other person cannot provide us with that. So our relationship is not bringing us any good. And we suffer because of that relationship too. So what we should do? I think a good question should be asked. How can I generate, how can I generate the energy of peace, of understanding and of love? Because no one in the teaching of the Buddha, to love means to offer, to be able to offer these things, to offer some peace, to offer some understanding and compassion, because all of us need that. And the person you love, your partner, is he capable of offering you this kind of things? If he cannot offer you these three things, peace, understanding, and compassion, and your love is not satisfying, so I'm looking for someone who has the capacity to offer me peace, to offer me understanding and compassion. And if I want to be a true lover, I should have these things to offer. And the question is whether I have peace in myself. If I don't have peace in myself, how can I offer peace? I cannot make my beloved one happy if I don't have peace. So I'm motivated by the desire to bring some peace inside. And how? The other person suffers. The other person has a lot of difficulties. The other person has some deep aspiration, but I don't understand all these. That is why I cannot offer him or her the second thing, which is understanding. Offer him, I cannot offer her that because there is no understanding in me. Because I am not capable of understanding my own suffering. I do not understand my own suffering, my own difficulties, my own aspiration. How could I understand the suffering, the difficulties, and the aspiration of another person? So the question is, how can I understand my own suffering, my own difficulties? Once you have understood yours, you can understand his, her, and you can provide that person with understanding. in my society, in our society, people, not maybe people can understand their own suffering and therefore cannot love themselves. Because understanding is the foundation of love. If you don't understand someone, it's impossible for you to love him or her. If a father does not understand his son, and no matter what the father tries to do, the son continues to suffer. So it's very important that the father understand the suffering and the difficulties and the deep aspiration of the son. So understanding is the prerequisite, the foundation of love. And a son, if he wants to love his father, he has to understand the difficulties and the suffering of the father. But how he can do that if he does not understand his own suffering, his own difficulties? And in our society, people don't try to understand their own suffering. In fact, they try to do the opposite. They want to forget, to run away from their suffering. They want to cover up their suffering with consumption. You listen to the music, you read the newspaper, you turn on television, you play electronic games in order to forget the suffering in yourself. You cover up your suffering. And that is why you have no chance to understand your own suffering. And as you don't understand your suffering, you cannot understand his suffering or her suffering. That's the cause. So a true practice is to have the time to go back to yourself, not being afraid of holding, embracing, recognizing your suffering, and look deeply into its nature and find out what is the roots of my own suffering. The understanding of self is a very basic practice. Meditation is first of all to go home to ourselves and try to understand the suffering inside. And as you try to understand your own suffering, you can help your beloved one, your partner, to do, "Darling, I know that there is suffering in yourself. I, for my part, I know there is suffering in myself, and I have been trying hard in order to look into it and try to understand myself, my suffering. And I know that, dear one, you all also have a lot of suffering in yourself. I would like to understand it also. So please tell me more about your suffering. If I don't understand your suffering, how can I love you? I will continue to make mistakes if I don't understand your suffering. So please help me to understand my suffering, and I will help you to understand your suffering. And together, we can transform ourselves. And we will be able to accept ourselves and accept each other. And meditation is for that. And there is a need, a very urgent need to understand the suffering within, in order to be able to help the other person to understand the suffering in himself or herself. Sex can bring some satisfaction in the beginning, but if there is no mutual understanding, that empty sex will bring a lot of suffering later on. In the light of the Buddhist teaching, sex should not happen before mutual understanding takes place. Otherwise, you will suffer, both of you. Because body and mind are together. And if you don't have respect to your body, you don't have respect to your mind. If you respect someone, you respect his mind and his body, because his body is his mind. In a relationship, if you find the other person not capable of listening to you, not understand you, you know that that person is going to make you suffer in the future. This is a very clear, very simple. If talking with him and with her, you find that he is not, that person is not capable of listening to you, always interrupt you, try to make his point only, is not capable of listening to you, and you know that that person will not be capable of understanding you and bring you happiness. And this is very easy to detect. You need only 15 minutes in order to find out whether the other person has the capacity to understand you. If the other person always interrupt you, don't want to listen to you, is not interested in understand your suffering and your difficulty, you know that that person is going to give you a hard time in the future. And you yourself ask the question, as you, do you have the capacity to listen to him or to her? Do you have the interest in understanding the suffering in him or in her and try to help? And if you see that you have that desire to understand his or her suffering, the desire to help him or her suffer less, you know that you can go on with the relationship because you are equipped with that good intention and that good practice. So it's very practical. In a relationship, we can already know that whether that in the future we'll be happy or we'll be suffer a lot just by looking back at ourselves. Whether we have the capacity to and the intention to listen and to understand, or the other person has the capacity and the intention to listen and to understand. This is very, very important. These are very basic. To listen to a person, we need to learn, to train ourselves. Because what the other person say may be full of accusation, blames, and wrong perceptions. And while listening to him or to her speaking like that, you get hurt. You get irritated. And you want to stop him, stop her, and correct him or her. Because you suffer while you listen. You notice that his speech is full of wrong perceptions, full of bitterness, accusation, sourness. And that touch the suffering in you. And that is why you cannot sit and listen. And we know that when we cannot listen with the compassion, we cannot help the other person. The The other person needs a person, needs someone who will listen to him or to her. And maybe you are the first one in his life that is capable to listen to him or to her. And in order to sit and listen with compassion so that the other person has a chance to empty his heart, it's a very deep practice. And you have to train in order to do so with good intention. That is not good enough. Even if you have the best of intention while listening, the seat of irritation and anger in you is water, and you lose your capacity of listening. And that is why you have to tell yourself that that person is full of suffering. And she needs someone who listens to him with compassion. And I am going to do that. I'm going to play the role of Bodhisattva, of deep listening, Avalokiteshvara. And I can do that if I know how to breathe in and out while listening and to remind myself of one thing. I listen to him, to her, only with one intention, to allow him or her a chance to empty their heart. So even if he say wrong things, full of accusation, blames, and wrong perceptions, I still listen. And that is called compassionate listening. You are so kind from your part to sit and listen like that. You are playing the role of a Bodhisattva. You continue to listen with compassion, even if that person is telling a lot of wrong things and full of accusations and anger. You still sit and listen. You are protected by the energy of compassion. That is why you can listen to him or to her for 1 hour quietly. And this is what we have to train ourselves. As a Bodhisattva, as a true lover. If you want to be a true lover, you should train yourself in order to listen. You listen to the suffering in yourself. Don't be afraid. Go home to yourself. Breathe in and out deeply and get in touch with your suffering and try to ask the question, why is suffering? Where has it come from? Because your suffering may reflect the suffering of your father and mother, might reflect the suffering of your ancestors, might reflect the suffering of the planet. And your suffering contains the suffering of the people of your time also. So understanding your suffering is somehow to understand his or her suffering. So it's very important to have the courage to go back and recognize the suffering inside, not to cover up with consumption, music, electronic games and things like that. And if you need a brother or a sister in the practice, can sit with you and help you with the energy so that you can go back and recognize the suffering inside and to hold it dearly like you hold a wounded cat, a wounded dog. That is what we need. Maybe that is the first thing we have to do, to have the courage to go home, to recognize and to hold the suffering inside and have a deep look. It may not be pleasant in the first time, but the Buddha helped us. He said that if you know how to practice mindful breathing, deep in-breath, deep out-breath, you know how to make mindful steps, and then you will have enough the energy of mindfulness in order to go home to yourself and hold tenderly the block of suffering in you and try to understand. Understand oneself, connecta tua tamem. That is the recommendation made by our ancestors. And understand is first understanding to understand your own suffering. Understanding your own suffering will bring you relief and you bring liberation. And after you have understood your suffering, you feel light and you can help him or her to do the same. That is a very crucial in a relationship. That is true love. And you have to speak to yourself with love. You may have suffered as a child. You go back to the child within you and you say, "Darling, I know you are still alive there. My wounded child, I have been so busy, I have not had the time to go back and take care of you. I know you are still there, alive and deeply wounded. But now I have learned that I have to go home and take care of you." So with the mindful breathing, you hold the wounded little child inside and help him or her to heal. This is a meditation. It's very urgent. Now look, we have grown into an adult, a young adult. We are no longer as vulnerable like we were a little boy or little girl. They cannot do to us what they have done in the past. We can very well defend ourselves. Tell the little boy, the little girl inside, "We have grown into an adult. Don't be afraid, my dear. Come out with me and we get in touch with the sunshine, the beautiful hills, beautiful trees. Don't be afraid. Don't hide yourself inside." That is the kind of meditation that we should do to get the healing. We understand that suffering has its own roots and maybe we have suffered as a child. And the suffering continues. There's a lot of fear. There's tendency to withdraw. So go home and talk to him, to her, the little boy, the little girl, and invite him or her to come out into the present moment as a young adult in order to get in touch with the wonders of life that are still there. In Plum Village, when we practice walking meditation, it means that we want to leave the past, to be settled in the present moment, to make each step in such a way that we can encounter the wonders of life that are available in the here and now. And if you have enough mindfulness and concentration, you get the nourishment of the wonders of life. The kingdom of God is available in the here and now, with the sunshine, with the flowers, with the trees, with the rain, and so on. So walking like that is to heal. And you have to invite the wounded child within to come out and walk with you. In that way, we heal ourselves. Without healing ourselves, without getting a relief, we cannot be a good lover. We cannot help the other person to do the same. If you don't know how to swim, you cannot rescue someone who is drowning. This is very clear. And if you know how to talk to the little child inside, you can talk to your partner in the same. "My dear friend, darling, I know you have suffered very much in the past many years. You might have also suffered as a child. I understand that. I know the wounds, the wounded child in you. Please tell me more about the suffering of little boy, little girl in you. Please tell me about more about your suffering, your difficulties, your aspiration. I want to understand. In the past, if I have made you suffer because I did not understand your suffering, but now I have learned. So please help me to understand you. I don't want to make you suffer. If I did make you suffer because I did not understand your suffering, your difficulties, I don't want to continue like that. So my dear, please tell me of your difficulties, of your suffering, of your deepest aspiration. I want to understand. If you don't help me, who will help me? So that kind of talking that the Buddha called loving speech will be possible. And if you can talk to him or to her like that, the door of his heart will open and he will tell you the suffering. And you play the role of the Bodhisattva, listen with compassion. And even if he say things that are not correct, if he still has a lot of anger and frustration, you still sit very quietly and listen with compassion. And this is possible. If you can nourish compassion alive in your heart, you can continue to listen. And how? I have already said. Remind yourself of one thing. I listen like this with only one purpose, to allow him or her a chance to suffer less, to empty himself. And if you maintain that awareness alive, compassion is alive, and you can listen for 40 minutes, 1 hour, and that will bring him relief. And this is possible with a few days of practice. Practice of mindful breathing, practice of mindful walking, listening to oneself, talking to the child inside. And then after that, you can go to him or to her and help him, you help her to do the same. When a block of pain, of fear, of anger, of sorrow come up, when there is a painful emotion coming up, you should know how to deal with it, how to take care of that painful feeling and emotion. We have to learn. When we come to Plum Village, we have an opportunity to learn these things. There are those of us who know how to do it. When there is a painful feeling, we don't try to cover it up with music or other kind of consumption. But we practice mindful breathing or mindful walking to generate the energy of mindfulness in order to recognize that feeling. Breathing in, I know anger is in me. Breathing out, I know despair is in me. I'm going to take good care of anger, of despair, of jealousy in me. We have to learn this kind of practice. Because when you know how to practice mindful breathing, mindful walking, you can generate the energy of mindfulness and concentration. And with that energy, you can recognize and embrace the energy of anger, of fear, or despair. Imagine anger, or fear, or despair as a block of energy. And with the practice, you generate another kind of energy that come and take care and hold. And that is what we need to learn as a practice. To stay with your anger, to stay with your fear, to stay with your pain, and you get a relief. And you can go further if you know how to look deeply into the block of anger, fear, and pain in you. And there are those who practice with you, they can come and help. Not by talking, but by breathing, sitting with you, and help you to embrace your anger, your fear, your pain. So come into Plum Village, come into a retreat, you learn how to take care of a painful feeling that arises, a painful emotion that arises. And it's very urgent. In France, every day about 34-35 young people die, commit suicide, kill themselves, because they don't know how to handle a strong emotion like despair, like anger. Every day is too much, from 30 to 35. And the same or more is true in England. So as a young person, we have to learn how to take care of our painful feeling, our painful emotion. We have to learn abdomen breathing. We have to focus our attention on the rise and fall of our abdomen. And not to allow ourselves to be carried away by the thinking, by the despair, by the anger. And these things are, you can learn. Belly, abdomen breathing. And it's like during the time of a storm, if you know how to breathe like that for 10, 15 minutes, and that storm will go away after, and you survive. Otherwise, you go and kill yourself. So I have to learn these techniques. Mindful breathing with the rise and fall of abdomen, or mindful walking. And in these moments, you don't think. You use your body, your breath, your feelings in order to stick to the practice of mindful breathing. And the feeling, the emotion will go away. You are much more than an emotion. Why do you have to die? Because of one emotion. An emotion is like a storm. It comes, stay for some time, and will have to go away. Why do you have to die because of one emotion? And in order to survive a storm, you know how to do it. You have to learn the techniques of mindful breathing, mindful sitting, mindful walking. And when the strong emotion comes, you know what to do. You stop thinking. You bring your mind down to your belly, and you practice deep breathing in, breathing out, and focus only your attention on your in-breath, out-breath, rising and falling of the abdomen. And we allow the storm to come, to stay, and it will have to go away. And if we know how to train ourselves to do like that, in a few weeks, it will become a habit. And when a strong emotion comes, we will naturally remember and we do it. And talk to a friend. Help him or her to learn. And you might save his life or her life. Because that person will know how to take care of himself or herself during the time of a strong emotion. So in a youth retreat, we have to learn all these things. And we know that the children, many of them can do it. You are a big brother, a big sister, you can hold the hand of your younger brother or sister. You say, breathe with me. I breathe in. My abdomen is rising. I breathe out, it's falling. I just follow the rise and fall of my abdomen. And you guide the little boy or little girl to breathe. And you can help him go through a strong emotion. And later on, after a few times doing with you, he or she can do it alone. These things are possible. And Thay has recommended the practice to school teachers. School teachers have to know how to do it, and they have to teach their children to do it in order to take care of a strong emotion when it comes. So a good practitioner, even a young one, should have the capacity to take care of a painful feeling, a painful emotion. We have to train ourselves. And during Dhamma discussion, we have to share with each other how we deal with we take care of our strong emotion, a painful feeling in us, to have a peace. If we have peace, and then we can offer peace to our beloved one. That is the practice of peace. And a good practitioner, even if she is still very young, should be able to bring in a moment of joy and happiness. If you want a moment of joy, you can create, you can bring it in right at the moment you want. And how? With the practice of mindfulness and concentration. Because when you breathe in, breathe out mindfully, and go back to the present moment, you see that there are many wonderful things that are there. It's like your eyes still are very good, in good condition. If you need, you need only to open your eyes in order to get in touch with the paradise of forms and colors that is there. That is a treat. There are those who are blind, who want to have eyes like us in order to enjoy the paradise of forms and colors. But we do have good eyes, but we don't enjoy using our eyes. So mindfulness tells us that we have eyes in good conditions. We can enjoy the paradise of colors and forms. And you can say, darling, don't you think that it's beautiful out there? And you bring happiness to us and to that person right away. That is mindfulness practice. there is a heart that functions normally inside. That is a good thing. And there are many people who don't have a heart like that, who are subjected to a heart attack at any time. And the deepest thing they want to have is to have a heart, a normal heart like ours. So you talk to your heart, breathing in, I know my heart is there, functioning normally. Breathing out, I am so happy to have such a heart. And you bring in a moment of happiness. There are many conditions of happiness that are available there. You don't have to go and get it from the market or elsewhere. So mindfulness helps us to get in touch with many wonders of life and many conditions of happiness that are already available. And we can bring in a moment of happiness and of joy to us and to our beloved one anytime you want to. And a good practitioner should be able to do that. The French have a song about that. Qu'est-ce qu'on attend pour être heureux? We can be happy right here, right now. And that is the Buddha's teaching. So it's very clear that a good practitioner, whether she's still young or not, should be able to take care of a painful feeling, of a painful emotion. We have to learn. Very urgent. A good practitioner should be able to bring in at any time a moment of happiness and joy. And meditation is that for our nourishment and healing. And together with the practice of compassionate listening and loving speech, we can restore communication between us and ourselves, between us and our beloved one. And all these things belong to the practice of meditation. And you know that if you study the five mindfulness trainings, you see that the five trainings are for that only. The five trainings is the practice of true love, to bring some peace, understanding inside, so that you can offer peace and understanding to the other person and to the world. When you are in love, you know that you have an opportunity to love one person. It's an opportunity to open your love and to embrace many other people later on. Because to love is a process of learning. And your heart grows, continue to grow. And your heart embraces only one person, not only one person. But since your heart, you practice true love, that is why understanding and compassion help your heart to grow. And you can embrace with your love many more of us in the world. That is the love of Buddha, love without frontiers. L'amour sans frontières. And that is possible. In the beginning, just one person. But if you follow the path of true love, you will very soon include us in your love. And you include the whole planet in your love. And you have a great aspiration. there is a proposal made by some young monastics in Plum Village that next year we will organize a wake-up tour in Europe and in America. Young monks and nuns and lay person will go around Europe and America to organize meetings and workshops for young people so that we can offer this kind of practice, the practice of true love, the practice of taking care of our suffering, generating happiness, restore communication, embrace everyone, the whole planet in our love. And maybe in this retreat you will have time to discuss about that. A privileged tour of Europe and America for the sake of for the wake up people. This is something good, joyful to do. And offering that, the practice to other young people, we have also the opportunity to practice ourselves. And that is way is the most joyful way of building a sangha. Building the sangha is the most noble thing to do, because with the sangha we make the Buddha available, the Dharma available, and many people can take refuge in the sangha. The sangha will show them the way to love, the way to restore communication, the way to restore hope. I think that Thay has answered all the questions directly and indirectly.